The first argument that they give is the land promises have already been fulfilled in Joshua's day. They always go to two scriptures. Take a look at Joshua 11:23 for a moment. It says, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord God had spoken to Moses." So they say, there it is. Joshua occupied everything. Take a look at Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. Here's another verse that they like to use quite frequently. It says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land which He had sworn to their forefathers, and they possessed it, and they lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that He had sworn to their fathers, and none of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their land." Verse 45, "Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." And they say, there it is, as plain as day. The land promises have been fulfilled in the time of Joshua. If the land promises have been fulfilled in the time of Joshua, don't worry about a future for Israel. Well, what is the answer to that? The answer to that is the rest of the story. You have to look at these promises in context. For example, Joshua 13:1, which follows somewhat closely after Joshua 11, says this, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years. When the Lord said to him, 'You are old and advanced in years.'" If I were Joshua, I'd say, "Well, I know I'm old and advanced in years, but you don't have to remind me of that. 'You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed.'" See that? Joshua didn't get everything. And it goes on and it says, "This is the land which remains from all of the regions of the Philistines and all of the Gershurites." And it goes on and it talks about how Joshua got part of the land, but not all of the land. So everything God promised to do for the Joshua generation, He did. But when you read the whole story, He did not give Joshua everything that He promised to do in the Abrahamic covenant. And so it's just a matter of people picking verses selectively to argue a theological point while ignoring all the other verses. Now, Joshua is followed by which book? Judges. And when you go into Judges, it becomes very clear that Israel never got everything. Judges 1:19 says, "Now the Lord was with Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because of their iron chariots." Going down to verse 21, it says, "But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem." And you get a whole description of this in verse 19, 21, really verses 27 through 36 of Judges 1. It goes on and it says Israel didn't get this part, Israel didn't get that part, and this was in the days of Joshua. And my goodness, they didn't even get Jerusalem, this passage says. So how could the land promises be fulfilled in the days of Joshua when Jerusalem wasn't even under Israeli control until the time of David? As I've pointed out many times, the dark area is the section that the Joshua generation got. Very small section in comparison to the whole tract of land that God promised to Abram. Another piece of territory that never dropped into their lap during that time was Gezer, Joshua 16:10. So that's their first argument, and I think it's pretty easy to answer, but you'll hear them use this quite frequently. Well, if that argument doesn't work, then we'll go to argument two. The land promises were fulfilled in the days of Solomon. Solomon reigned from about 971 to 931. This is a good 400 years, a little over 400 years after the time of Joshua. And let me show you the text that the amillennialists use frequently. Look at 1 Kings 4 and verse 21. And they love this passage. 1 Kings 4:21. which says, now Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And they brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. And they quote this language where it talks about what Solomon ruled over right up to the border of Egypt. Now in these charts, you'll notice I've got the passage they use in the left column, the argument that they use in the middle column, and our answer to that in the far right-hand column. So is it true that all of the land promises were fulfilled in the days of Solomon? It gets a little tricky because Solomon was the last king of the United Kingdom. He was king number 3. After him, the kingdom was divided. So Solomon's territory expanded the furthest that's ever experienced in the history of the land of Israel. Solomon experienced more prosperity politically and economically than any other king in Israel's history. And so people have a tendency to think that it was in that time period that the Abrahamic covenant was fulfilled, and if it's been fulfilled, then there's no future for Israel. God has already made good on His promises. But the devil's in the details, isn't it? If you look at verse 21, it says, now Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines and the border of Egypt, and they brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Solomon's reign was a tributary reign. The territories that he ruled them over for purposes of taxation. But those territories were never officially annexed or incorporated into the land of Israel. Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon, retained its independence. So Solomon really had more of a tributary control rather than a political control. And after Solomon died, what did all of those tributary nations do? They went back to their own territories. So it's hard to argue that this promise has somehow been fulfilled in the days of Solomon. Beyond that, you'll notice that Solomon's territory, what does it say? It went to the what of Egypt? The border. What did God promise Abram? Territory not to the border of Egypt, but to the river of Egypt. Words mean things. God is very specific. The border of Egypt is something that's different, smaller territory, than to the river of Egypt. Beyond that, God said that Israel would possess the land in the Abrahamic covenant forever. Genesis 17:8 says that. That can't be the Solomonic Empire because the nation was deposed from the land, were they not? Shortly after the time of Solomon, the northern kingdom being kicked out in 722, the southern kingdom being taken into captivity in 586. And if, as I said before, if these promises were fulfilled in Solomon's day or Joshua's day, what is the prophet Amos talking about? Notice Amos 9, verses 11 through 15. Amos prophesying long after the era of Joshua and Solomon. Notice Amos 9, verses 11 through 15. In that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David and the wall up its breaches. I will raise up its ruins. I will rebuild it in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that are called by my name, declares the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes who sows seed, when the mountains will drip with sweet wine and the hills will be dissolved. And I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. And they will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make their gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them in their own land. They will not again be uprooted from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord. This is in 755, long after Solomon and Joshua left the scene. So if the promises have been fulfilled already, either in the Solomonic Empire or the conquest under Joshua, why is God saying what He's saying here through the prophet Amos? It simply makes no sense. So this takes us to their third argument that they use, and let's go to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. These land promises have never been fulfilled. And see, with these amillennialists, what they do, if this argument doesn't work, then they'll throw another argument at you. Then you refute that one, and they come back with another one. They've got a list of things that they keep going through over and over again. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you," now he's writing to the New Testament people of God, "but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now that is a quote from the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verses 5 and 6, which relates to the Mosaic Covenant. So what the amillennialists like Anthony Hokema do is they say, look, here's a prophecy about Israel and the Mosaic Covenant given to the church. So if the promise is taken from Israel and given to the church, that means the church must be the new what? The new Israel.